This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycast. Free your mind!
Sex worker, and yes, it does. In those biblical sense, I am beyond repentance. Ben Hooker, sex worker, wench, vowel metal mind. Listen up close while I take it backwards. Okay, begins the gal in me, which I will. I'm not a prostitute. Sex workers, but I can give you what you want. Sex worker, damn it. Go
get some. Tuned in to the Vixen Hour. Sex workers setting the record straight on Australia's first gay and lesbian radio station, Joy 94.9. Red Umbrella Radio.
Here on the Vixen Hour on Joy 94.9. Thank you to the Cubby House and congratulations on 100 shows. It's quite a milestone. This is your weekly community radio program. It's the only one in the world that's entirely produced and presented by sex workers, and that is the Vixen Hour here on Joy 94.9.
All discussions presented on Vixen Hour are made in the interest of community information and are not intended to induce any individual to seek employment in the sex industry. For more information in this area, we recommend individuals to get in contact with their local sex worker organisation. The Vixen Hour. Everyone has an opinion about sex work. Make yours an informed one.
Joy 94.9.
Make your own opinion on sex work an informed one. That is the Vixen Hour here on Joy 94.9. The time is 5 minutes past 11. And if you want to interact with the show at any point, you can do so by texting in on 0427 Joy 949. So that's 0427 569 949. Sending us an email at onair@joy.org.au or giving Robert at the front desk a call on 1300 Joy 949. He'd love to hear from you. And we'd love to hear from you. So on tonight's show, we'll be talking about a really big, confusing, juicy topic, sex work and the law. And I'm joined in the studio by the wonderful Estelle.
Hi, guys.
Hey, how you doing?
Good.
So every week here on the Vixen Hour, we do have a new co-host. And this week I am joined by Estelle, and we are going to talk about sex work and the law. And we do spend this first part of the show getting to know the co-host that will be presenting with me. So this week it is Estelle Lucas.
Hi, Christian. And hi, guys. My name is Estelle Lucas, and I'm a 22-year-old private escort that resides in Melbourne. A little bit about me. I was raised in a Turkish Islamic family. I've always been academically focused, and I received a scholarship at the end of year 12 to complete my law degree, which is probably why I'm invited to tonight's show.
Fantastic.
I'm the type of girl that will probably keep studying and get another degree in the next 5 years or so. When I was 18, I joined the sex industry, and I was motivated to support my family. I found that most of the jobs available at 18 only supported myself. And as a worker, I've worked in different positions in the sex industry, and I've also worked in different places.
So what are the different types of sex work that you've done?
I've been a sugar babe, I guess you could say.
So the listener might not be familiar with that term. So what is a sugar babe?
Well, I'm sure you've heard of sugar daddy. Sugar babe is the other side of the coin. And it's more, it's not as a fixed contract. It's a negotiable sort of circumstance in which there's usually a gentleman who wants to spend time with you, and you can spend time with him and you negotiate some sort of exchange. So it's usually time for money or gifts or
And there's sort of like particular websites that you can sort of make those arrangements through and stuff. So what other types of sex work have you done?
So I did that until I was about 20, and then I did some research research into different dimensions of the sex industry. I looked into brothel work and I looked into stripping, mm-hmm. both of which I didn't think suited me.
Yeah.
And then I went into...
Yeah, I can't do stripping.
Yeah, no.
I'm too clumsy. I would fall over.
I can't hustle at all.
Yeah, it is a completely different skill set. Yeah.
One that I don't have or you.
Yeah, yeah, neither.
Anyways, and then I saw private escorting and I thought, oh, I like that.
Yeah.
I'll give it a go. And I did. And yeah, cool. I've been doing private escorting since.
Yeah. And you said that you've done a bit of travel with escorting.
Yeah. Yeah. I worked in Germany for a German agency.
Fantastic.
And so I got flew around all over Europe and got to see lots of gentlemen and it was a lot of fun.
Yay.
It's completely different though.
Yeah. Yeah.
So different.
Mm-hmm. I imagine that worked to be quite... you would get to see lots of different parts of the world.
That's right. And it's very competitive there and it's legal there as well. Mm-hmm. So yep. it's a different way of working.
Yeah.
Fantastic. As opposed to here.
Yay. Must be nice.
It was fun. It was so much fun.
So here on the Vixen Hour, we do try to bring in a diverse range of voices of sex workers to speak about their work. And we do ask, we set this conversation up at our very first episode, trying to work out what exactly is sex work, and then, you know, realizing that, you know, every single worker defines sex work in a very different way. So for Estelle Lucas, what does sex work mean to you?
Well, personally, sex work is real work to me. Mm-hmm. I regard it as my occupation, so I approach it very professionally, like an accountant would to their work or an electrician would.
Yep.
I pay my taxes, I have a schedule, I have goals that I've set for myself. So to me, it's really normalized and regular, and also the people I surround myself with know what I do, and they're quite supportive and mindful, so I can have a little, I had a bad day at work, or I had a really good day at work, and it's very normal for me. It's not something that's hush-hush or taboo.
So you connect with a lot of other sex workers.
That's right, it's good to have a network of sex workers that you know and that you can talk to, because sometimes you can't talk about that sort of stuff with regular people because they don't quite understand.
And you know, that's not an unusual thing. So you know, whatever occupation you have, you would seek other peers to sort of debrief about those professional issues and, you know, talk about work. So yeah, I think it's a completely normal thing for sex workers to do.
Yeah, and I think it's just another dimension of my life, just like my education or my social interaction or my family life. Mm-hmm. It's just another job. It's just a job.
Yeah. So what do you enjoy about sex work?
I really like the idea of being intimate with someone, but making them happy.
Yeah.
And like giving them that opportunity to express themselves that they might not feel they could do in their normal everyday life.
Yeah, right.
So it's really, really nice to be a part of that and for someone to come to you and say, you know, I'd really like to connect with you and have a sort of a special relationship with you.
That's amazing. And I think sex workers sort of, a lot of people think that's, you know, somebody's dirty little secret or whatever.
Yeah, no, not at all. But I think it's really nice and almost spiritual. I don't like saying that word, you feel very, because you're naked around each other, so you don't have this costume of a suit or this or that. You get to see people for who they really are.
You're really dealing with like someone's raw humanness.
Exactly.
If you like.
And sexual energy. And a lot of that's build up and a lot of that's not shown.
Uh-huh.
So you get to get exposed to a different side of people and it's not bad like most people think.
Yeah. And that's the thing. I think everybody has a sexuality, right? Mm-hmm. So, you know, I think to imagine that, you know, somebody who would pay a sex worker for the opportunity for sexual expression is going to be doing something seedy or dirty.
Not at all.
Yeah, I think, it kind of doesn't make sense. So if people think about their own sexuality and the ways that they express it, that's exactly what clients do with sex workers.
It's just two consenting adults, just like anywhere else.
Absolutely.
It's just in a professional context and not in a casual.
Yay. Awesome. So we're going to be spending the next hour with Estelle talking about sex work and the law. Yay. So we're going to look at what people think the laws are around sex work and then actually talking about, well, what are they? And then asking the question, if you could have a law for sex work, what would it be? What would it look like and why? And then we'll talk about, what do sex workers want from their laws? You are tuned in to the Vixen Hour here on Joy 94.9. If at any point you want to interact with the program, you can do so by texting in on 0427 Joy 949. We'd love to hear from you. Now to go to some messages.
You're listening to a Joycast from GLBTIQ community radio station, Joy 94.9.
You are here on the Vixen Hour on Joy 94.9, and we are talking about sex work and the law. So we wanted to open this. We wanted this to be a conversation that we have with the broader community. I kind of sent Estelle on a bit of an assignment.
That's right. I had a mission.
You did.
Good fun.
I asked Estelle to record this Vox Pop, and basically it was asking the question, what did people think the laws were around sex work?
Yeah, so what's illegal and what's legal?
Yeah, it's compelling listening. Hope you enjoy it.
I have no clue what the laws are for or against. I believe there will be some parts that would be legal, some parts that might be illegal.
Okay, so I think that brothels are legal, but street prostitution is illegal.
All right, it is to my knowledge that street prostitution is illegal, but brothels are legal.
I think when it involves with physical intercourse, then I think that's illegal. So selling sex and brothel might be illegal, but escorting system or like a strip joint might not be illegal, but there's a limit.
Yeah, I do know a little bit about working from home. Yeah, you know, my understanding it's legal to work from home and things like that, and as provided there's police, I believe police are informed and things like that. Yeah, so
I think you're not allowed to work from home. It's prohibited on the street.
There are legalised brothels, and there are some policies around legalised areas that have to meet certain criteria to operate.
I think it's legalised in actual brothel houses, and that's about it. Illegal on the streets.
What I think I know is that street prostitution is illegal, but brothels are legal, and that's probably all I would know about sex work and the legalities.
That to be like a prostitute, you have to be over 18. I guess it's the same for stripping. I'm not sure. I guess something that would be illegal would be working under 18. Also, if people don't want to be doing that and forced into it, that's illegal.
Sex work itself is legal. I don't think street walkers are legal. I'm not sure. In Victoria, you're not allowed to advertise certain things or show certain parts of the body if you're promoting yourself. But otherwise, I think anything goes as long as it's in private and you're not hurting anyone.
Oh, I know it's not illegal in certain states, but then there are states that it is, but I don't know what and where.
I am unsure about the actual jurisdictions in different states. For some reason, I tend to believe that there are different laws in Canberra and the Northern Territory, but I'm not exactly certain. I know there are some legal brothels and some illegal brothels, but I don't know any of the laws that sort of pertinate around hookers who, you know, go to someone's house, or if they have in-call people, or if they go through an agency. So I'm not sure.
Well, it's illegal not to pay.
That is
legal, right. Is paying that cooler rate, because you didn't pay me. So that's right.
Okay, good.
That's so true.
Wow.
I love that last one.
Where did you find these people?
That was a busker on the street, that last one. He was amazing. He was so entertaining.
And this is the first part of the Vox Pop. We'll actually come back to these people for the second half of our Vox Pop when we ask them what laws they think we should have. But I just wanted to ask, like, what was that like actually going out into the public and, you know, asking about sex work?
Well, I did that over 3 days, and I went to different places. Like, I went to uni, I went to the streets, I went to markets, and even went to nightclub. That's right. Worst idea ever. But some people were very like, oh, I'm not going to talk about that.
Uh-huh.
And they just didn't want to get interviewed at all.
Wow.
So then I was like, oh, that's fine.
Mm-hmm.
And then a lot of people were just like, I don't know. I just don't know. I can't help you because I don't know.
Yeah. And I think that got reflected in the Vox Pop a lot.
Yeah. A lot of people were very, I don't know.
Yeah, I'm not sure. Yeah. So I think there was a certain sense of what is legal and what is illegal, but also that sometimes those things conflicted. So like one person said they thought working from home was legal, and then another person said, oh no, that's prohibited.
Yeah, that's right. And another girl, I think, said that brothels are illegal but escort agencies are legal.
Yeah.
And it's sort of like, well, what are they providing?
Yeah. And what sort of shapes those opinions are very much things like the media. and mm-hmm. how sex work is represented in like movies and TV shows. So there was that comment that, you know, providing sex is illegal, but things like escorting is legal. And I think that understanding comes from this idea that, you know, you can't pay for a sexual service, but you can
pay for someone's time.
Pay for someone's time, yeah, which is something that's come across particularly from like British media.
That's right.
Now, talking about sex work law is a big, complicated beast.
It is. It's
and
huge.
Yeah, it's really hard to work out where to start. It is a big elephant, and how do you eat an elephant? One bite at a time. We don't have time to eat a whole elephant, so we're going to go through some big broad strokes. To start off, there are a couple of legal prerequisites to being a sex worker.
That's right. Firstly, it's you can't get coerced into the work.
Yeah, that's right. So the law says it has to be your free choice.
Yes, so you have to be consenting fully into it, and you have to be over 18.
That's right. That's a basic sort of, you know, prerequisite. You can't be a sex worker if you're under the age of 18. Those are the legal prerequisites. Now, in Victoria, we have what we call legalisation, so a system of legislated regulation. And what that means is there's a small part of the industry that is legal and is legally allowed to operate. And everything else that doesn't fall into that small little legal definition is considered illegal or non-compliant. So putting Estelle on the spot here. So what do you think is legal?
Legal is licensed brothels and agencies and also exempt workers. So that'd be me.
Yeah. So So registered private workers is legal. The licensing process itself is quite long and complicated. And
that's
we could probably talk about it for an hour if we wanted to. But let's not.
Let's skip that one.
Yeah. So what we'll do is we'll provide links on our Facebook page. And if people want to stay connected to the Vixen Hour through social media, they can find us on Facebook at facebook.com/sexworkerradio. That's the Vixen Hour's Facebook page. We'll upload links to the actual law and legal information on that page. Because there's this small, everything that isn't a licensed brothel or an escort agency or a registered private work is illegal. So examples of illegal sex work include
street work, that's illegal, working from home, there's some advertising laws.
Yeah, so anything that is sort of unregistered or unlicensed is considered illegal. So you can be a private worker. We did talk about this in our very first episode of the Vixen Hour, that you can be a private worker, but the law actually doesn't go into much detail about what private workers are. It heavily defines what brothels are and what escort agencies are, but basically if you're a one-person operation or a one-person version of those licensed businesses, then you're a private worker. So they have this legal term, exempt service provider or exempt sex worker. So that's what Estelle is and that's what I am. But because we are a version of a licensed business, we do have to go through the same planning regulations and approval process as that business.
That's right. And we have to go through the same sort of work frame to work from home, which actually makes it pretty impossible for us to do in-calls.
Yeah. So if we want to work from home, the law considers that an exempt brothel. Mm-hmm. And what that means is we still have to go through the planning process and approval process of a brothel. So that means, do you know some of those legal requirements?
I think there's like it has to be away from children's frequented, so a school or a church.
Yeah, so it has to be about 200 metres, at least 200 metres from the nearest school, church or place frequented by children.
And I think it has to be in an industrial area.
That's right. You have to have possession of the property while it goes through the planning process. So that means you're paying rent on a property and sometimes the approval process can take up to 6 months.
What that means is we're probably not going to work in calls.
No. Well, it means trying to get that license is damn near impossible, really.
Yeah.
Which is a shame because it's a way that a lot of workers would like to work.
Exactly, because you're in your own environment, you're comfortable, everything's controlled.
Yeah.
As opposed to going out to someone else's home where you don't know.
Yeah, and it's a bit crazy because, like, working in your own environment, you're able to, you know where the exits are. And the other thing about providing in-calls is it's what a lot of clients ask for.
That's right, because they might have family at home or housemates or pets.
Yeah, they might not be able to afford afford a hotel room.
Yeah, exactly. And they might want to, you know, go for a quickie in their lunch break or something.
Cheeky. Yeah, so, you know, to be able to provide that service. I remember in a couple of years ago, I actually tallied up the number of requests for in-calls that I knocked back, and it was something like $10,000 worth. It was a pretty crazy amount.
That's a big chunk of business.
Yeah, it is. And when, like, I recognize that I'm privileged in that I have a day job and I'm able to knock all those jobs back. If you're like a single parent who needs to put food on the table, they may not be able to afford to be compliant in the law in that way.
Yeah, which makes them illegal activities, yeah, even though they're trying.
Yeah. And, you know, that once you sort of set up that situation, the law is also pretty paranoid around illegal brothels. So the police are actually in charge of regulating the illegal sex industry. So that means, you know, if an issue comes up for you and you're working from home, if, say, you needed to call the police for whatever reason on a client, you have to make this decision. Part of what might inform that decision is being worried about whether the police are going to actually turn around and charge you.
Which discourages you from getting support, getting help.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, we want to encourage sort of an industry that has a lot of healthy and safe workers. And how can we do that if we're worried about, you know, whether the police are going to charge us or not?
Exactly. And you don't see that in any other industry.
Well, that's right. You are listening to The Vixen Hour here on Joy 94.9. If you have any questions, you can text in on 0427 Joy 949. Send us an email at onair@joy.org.au or give Robert at the front desk a call on 1300 Joy 949. Going to some messages now.
To find out more about Joy 94.9, check out joy.org.au.
You are listening to The Vixen Hour here on Joy 94.9. We have had a message. Hey, Christian, what I don't get is why people think that sex workers are subhuman. Meeting you yesterday, you are just like anyone else. Yay! So for the people who missed it, we were in Pride March. Sex workers, their families, lovers and friends did have their own group. And yeah, it was a really, really great day and the crowd was really, really supportive. We got a bit sunburnt, but I think that, that happened for a lot of people. Anyway, on your topic, do you believe that the government needs to provide better protection and legislation to protect the rights and dignity of workers working in all areas of the sex industry? And that's from Andrew. That's a really interesting question because it does sort of go to the next topic that we were going to have. And yeah, so we'll probably leave answering that question to our later conversation, because what we're about to play now is the second half of the Vox Pop that Estelle went out and put together. And this was asking the question, well, if there was going to be a law for sex work, what should it be?
Well, I think that sex workers should have a fair right, workers as any other workers, and should be respected in the community and show an equal rights as any basic Australian citizen. It's still a hard day as you work at the end of the day of it, and selling your morals and sleeping with creeps doesn't come for nothing. And, you know, these girls aren't out to make break, you know, and these guys. But shit, love, what would I know? I'm just a little man in the night, sweetheart. But you pack that in your pipe and you tell these girls, go on, and don't take my no banana.
I guess anything that would help protect or help like harm minimization and whatnot, specifically, not too sure. That's a good question.
maybe it's illegal to discriminate people that are in the industry, because everyone should be able to do what they want to do as long as they're doing it of their own free will.
I don't know. I think the laws are okay. I'm not sure. I think the issue is about promoting the value of sex workers in society rather than changing the laws.
It's probably more about protection of workers, of the sex workers, and ensuring their rights are respected and they have an opportunity to be represented in forums just as any other working organisation.
But the law would have to be something along the lines of making it safer for the people who have to do it, mostly women, sometimes men, and just to try and keep it clean. So if there's people who are doing it because they have an addiction, try and help them get off whatever is forcing. If they want to do it, do it. But I don't have any definite views.
I suppose what it already is, so but just a little more regulated. Like maybe even have females control the industry, so it's not so you actually have good working conditions, I suppose.
Yeah.
I think it would just be like empowerment to like the people involved, to the actual prostitutes, and so that they are anything that makes them feel more safe and more like empowered, and that like if they're doing it for like to make sure that like they're doing it as a choice and that there's no no coercion involved.
That it would be completely, I guess you could say, regulated for safety or everyone involved's well-being.
I think it should be not prohibited from working from home, because that way the worker is in their own environment, and I think it's a lot safer than the girls going to hotels, so that would be what I would change.
Keep everyone healthy, regular health checks and spread of sexually transmitted disease.
Make a law about sex work, I would want to increase the safety that revolves around, I suppose, sexually transmitted diseases and infections. To be honest, I don't really know what laws are already in place, but I would prefer some sort of screening system. I don't even know if that's legitimately possible, if you could implement that. But basically, I would just want to make sure that sex workers are safe and they have a fucking great time.
Lots of it in lots of places. Free love. There should be no laws, right?
If I could make a law about sex work, I would actually legalise it and make it that it was protected and the girls were protected and the people using the services were protected, because there's no shame in any of it. And as they say, it's the oldest profession in the world and will always be there. And I think it actually serves a purpose to the whole community.
Wow.
Oh, a range of responses there.
Wasn't there? And it's interesting because when you ask a question like that, what laws should there be around sex work, you really get a sense that, there's always an agenda behind the law.
That's right.
And I was just scribbling down some notes and, feel free to chip in. Listening to those responses, the agenda that I guess the broader community wanted to say, and you did ask a broad segment of the community.
I did. A lot of people didn't know how to answer it.
Yeah. So things like, having protection and human rights, things around safety and empowerment and healthy work environments. I think these are the things that we want for sort of all workplaces.
Yep.
So, yeah, it's interesting that when you sort of consider those things, that there are different frameworks that apply to sex work, and that there's one framework that probably captures all of those things better than most. There was a little bit of misinformation there. So people talking about, regular health checks, as if we don't have those already.
Exactly.
And we did talk about mandatory testing last show, so we probably won't delve into that issue anymore. But what I did want to talk about was the different types of laws that we have in Australia. So there are sort of three broad frameworks, if you like. So the first one is prohibition or abolition or criminalization. So that's where the system of law is in place, and its purpose is to ban whatever activity is going on. So in this case, sex work, it's about making it illegal. And that system does exist in some states in Australia. Estelle, do you know which ones?
I believe it's WA and South Australia.
So yeah, so all the activities around sex work are pretty much made illegal in those states. Just trying to completely ban sex work. And what happens is things like police are the regulators of the industry, and some pretty horrible practices happen.
I know that sex work does exist even if it is prohibited.
Absolutely.
So what that means is people who are in the industry and they try to get support or help, they're discouraged because the police are regulating them and they can get penalised.
So that's right. So if somebody's like assaulted at work, or somebody's robbed, or somebody's trying to blackmail you, you can't really report that to the police, because as a sex worker, you're constantly worried, are the police going to turn around and charge me?
Mm-hmm. And I think you just need should accept that sex work does exist, because if it was as simple as making it illegal...
And that it would go away after you did
that. Yeah, that's never happened.
It's never happened anyway.
It's never going to happen.
At the other end of the scale is decriminalisation. Mm-hmm. A lot of people think decriminalisation means deregulation and that, you know, people can just do whatever they want and it's...
That's not the case.
That's not the case. So what decriminalisation means is we take away the laws and we say all the other laws that apply to all other workplaces should apply to sex work. So industrial relations, fair work, occupational health and safety, equal opportunity, anti-discrimination, those apply to all other workplaces. They should just apply to sex work.
Instead of a private law just catered to them.
And it means that, you know, we're treated just like everyone else. But every other state besides...
New South Wales?
Yeah, every other state besides New South... And decriminalisation happens in other places in the world, like in Canada and...
New Zealand?
In New Zealand it happens. And, you know, the world hasn't caved in.
Yeah, a lot of the fears about making decriminalisation have actually been proven wrong.
We might talk about that a little bit later in our last segment. For everywhere else in Australia, besides Western Australia, South Australia, New South Wales, we have what's called legalisation or a licensing regime.
Which regulates the legal side of the work and everything else being illegal, like Victoria.
Yeah. So as we talked about before, a small part of the industry becomes legal or regulated, but everything else that falls outside of that system is still illegal. What it means is that, you know, a different level of occupational health and safety is applied to us. So instead of WorkSafe Victoria coming and, you know, inspecting workplaces, we've got the Justice Department or Consumer Affairs coming in and running around looking at, is there an alarm button that's near the bed and can you reach it? And, you know, is there enough lighting to do a sexual health check? You know, if those are occupational health and safety standards, they should be regulated by occupational health and safety regulators.
Exactly. Also, in Victoria, we have the laws. A lot of it is based on morality.
Yeah.
And don't actually really make sense or don't really have a purpose and don't achieve what they thought it was going to achieve.
Yeah. So can you think of an example?
We've gone over the in-call laws, but, you know, having an in-call place makes it safe for the worker. I think the idea was people thought that there was going to be Johns and Joes coming in and out, and really that's not actually what happens when you provide in-calls.
Yeah, there's this fear that, you know, oh, if sex work happens out in the suburbs, my next door neighbour is just going to become this, you know, massive brothel and it's going to be, you know, absolute pandemonium. But the fact of the matter is sex workers are pretty discreet workers.
Yeah, exactly. We don't really want people to know what it is we're up to and what we're doing.
And discretion is part of the service.
It is, because that's what our clients want. It's what they need. Another issue in Victoria is advertising.
Yeah.
So in Victoria, we can only take advertisement of our shoulders and up.
Yeah. So head and shoulders.
That's right. And most of us blur our faces because we don't want to be identified as a sex worker, because when that happens, we get stigma and discrimination and all these things that we didn't sign up for.
Yeah.
And it's sort of backwards because we don't really get to show what it is that we're offering.
Yeah.
Does that make sense? Yeah. You just see the colour of the hair or something like that.
Yeah, and a pixelated out face.
Vague facial features.
So, yeah, it's a really good example of how sex work legislation actually acts as a form of discrimination. And it doesn't make any sense, like you said before, because while it applies to us...
Yeah, you can get like a car company and they can have this bikini babe on the newspaper.
Or fast food.
Yeah,
you know.
Exactly. But we can't, so it's all right to use sexual themes to sell anything but sex.
Yeah, it's crazy, isn't it?
Yeah, and I remember, like, it's so regulated sometimes. I remember when I started out, I wanted to show a little bit of my cleavage, just to show people that I had boobs. And I had I had a letter given to me from the BLA saying, oh, you can't do that. And I thought, really, that 1 inch below my shoulders is really offensive, even though you can walk down the street and you see people with cleavage all the time.
Yeah. Or you see it on billboards.
Exactly,
everywhere.
Right in front of your face. Yeah. It doesn't make sense.
And we were talking before, it's crazy to think that that's somebody's job.
Like,
to actually be looking at your ads and going, oh, oh, there's too much there. And when you think about, like, you know, these are state-funded resources, how much of an axe has been taken to the public sector, you would think that they would have something better to spend the money on.
Exactly. You want those resources to be redirected to places where it's really needed, not checking if someone's got their cleavage showing.
Yeah.
It seems a bit ridiculous.
Yeah, it's a crazy thing. So, like, and advertising is so another example of just, you know, completely crazy advertising laws in Victoria is you're not allowed to describe ethnicity.
Yeah.
So I can get a $5,000 fine if I say I'm Asian.
Wow. Yeah. And there's someone looking out for that.
Yeah, there is someone looking out for that. I'm waiting for the angry email. Oh, yeah. I haven't.
How dare you? How dare you say you're Asian?
Yeah. I mean, I'm not lying.
Exactly. And it's, you know, some people are attracted usually of the same ethnicity, like an Asian person wouldn't see an Asian girl or a...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or it's like, you know, what if a Chinese restaurant couldn't say that it was Chinese?
Yeah, that doesn't really make sense, does it? And I think another one is the massage. So you can't say you offer massage or masseuse or MSG or any of that language.
Yeah. It's a weird one because it's like, well, some people, that is their genuine service that they offer.
Exactly. And they can't...
Yeah. How are they going to describe it?
And also, you know, about services, like you can't actually write what it is that you want to offer people.
Yeah.
So often, like, I spend like a good percentage of my day just telling people what I offer and what I'm comfortable doing with them through text or through email.
And that's right. One of the advertising laws is you're not allowed to describe services.
And the thing that's a bit backwards about that is sex workers, when they advertise, they don't actually say like really explicit things. We all have code words. So even if a child was reading it, they wouldn't really understand what it is that we're saying.
Yeah. Our advertising can be quite discreet. You are listening to The Vixen Hour here on Joy 94.9. We do have to go to some messages, but we'll be back soon.
You can find more Joycasts and show blogs. Go to joy.org.au.
You are on The Vixen Hour on Joy 94.9. You're here with Estelle and Christian.
Hi, guys.
If any time you do want to text us in, you can do so on 0427-JOY-949. And we've received a text from Kathy. Hi, Kathy.
Hi.
Kathy says, "Hiya, Christian. Really enjoyed marching with you and the other members of Vixen, their families and friends at Pride March yesterday. Yay, a super fun day. Finding tonight's program really interesting. And thank you, Estelle, for helping me make this program interesting."
Oh, I'm so glad to be here. I'm getting emotional.
Talking about sex work and the law. So what I thought we might spend this last 10 minutes of the program talking about is, well, what do sex workers want the law to look like?
This is a question that often isn't asked when making laws, and I think it's something that should be really prominent as opposed to morality as well as harm minimization. But us sex workers, we usually do have an idea of what we want.
Yeah. And you know, to imagine that there's a traditional understanding that, you know, sex workers don't want to be a part of the conversation, that we would rather be hidden or discreet.
Or that, like, we don't actually know what's good for us because we have no agency or not enough intelligence. And that's not true at all. I mean, I wish someone asked me what I want to better my working conditions.
Mm. And clearly, sex workers have a voice because, hello, we just put together a radio show. And you're listening to it right now. So we are able to assert what we want. And what do you think sex workers should have?
Well, when it comes to the law, I see all these laws getting made to minimise harm and control STD controls and all this sort of stuff. But I find that the most harmful thing for me and the thing that's most uncomfortable for me is the stigma and discrimination. So when I leave the industry, I don't want to be discriminated against because of this or that. I want to be comfortable to tell people that I'm a sex worker without fear, without paranoia, what they think of me, and just be regarded just like any other person. And I think the law needs to take a step forward and be decriminalized, because when it's decriminalized, I can say, I just got a job just like anyone else, like a baker.
Yeah, or a plumber or a teacher.
Yeah, and the law regards that and it minimizes the stigma. And when these laws happen, like these restrictive laws, I don't think they're very useful to sex workers. I think they're usually just to impress everyone else and just to tell tell them that we're on top of things, we're controlling them, because, you know, our sex workers are all over the place.
Yeah. Yeah, it's an interesting thing, isn't it? Like, when we do sort of look at the laws and how they don't really reflect the reality of the situation
exactly.
that we're going through. So, yeah, I think you're absolutely right. I think what we're looking for is a model of legislation that actually treats us just like everybody else. And that model is...
decriminalisation. Most of us agree that that's what we want.
Yeah. And that the laws that apply to every single other workplace should just apply to us. You know, we're not looking for special treatment. We just want to be treated like everybody else.
Yeah, and that we're responsible and we can look after each other and all this sort of stuff.
Yeah. And look, in other places where decriminalisation has been implemented, you know, the world hasn't caved in. You know, there's... there's this idea that, you know, if you decriminalise sex work, that, you know, suddenly there's going to be, you know, a sex worker on every street corner trying to hustle.
Exactly. Everywhere's going to be a red light district, but, everywhere you look.
Yeah, but in places of the world where, like, in places like New Zealand, where they decriminalise sex work, that didn't happen. Like, the level of street-based sex work...
Or they also think it's a bit encouraging.
Yeah.
And, like, people will just go in because it's legal.
Yeah.
And that this evidence says that that doesn't actually happen.
No, not at all. And yeah, it's interesting, like, they did an evaluation of New Zealand's laws, and in the places where street-based sex work happened, there was no increase of street-based sex work, and in fact, in some places they had actually experienced a decrease in street-based sex workers.
Why is that?
Because sex workers felt like they were able to do things like find the support that they need. They could tell people about you know, their work and the issues that they're going through their work. They could address harms in a very open and transparent way. They could explore other ways of working. So, you know, it allowed them to sort of move and make choices that they probably couldn't have if the law wasn't on their side.
And that's the important thing, because when it can be a dangerous sort of scenario, you want to be able to reach out and get support and not be so socially isolated, which once again links to stigma and discrimination.
And just to give an example of how debilitating the stigma can be. We were talking about sex work in the media a couple of episodes ago with the fabulous Jane Green. Hello, Jane, if you're listening. And one of the articles that we brought up, we identified, was this article where it said something like, you know, sex worker sues brothel over gun. And she had actually made a complaint to WorkSafe Victoria because there was an incident that happened in her workplace. And this was, you know, absolutely groundbreaking, because it was the first time that a claim had been made to WorkSafe, and they actually took it seriously and investigated the whole thing. Yeah, and it was like an example of how a sex worker was trying to access the resources and recourse that's available to everybody else for herself. But the sad thing is, how it was reported in the media was it focused entirely on the incident. It focused on things like the gun and the fact that this person was a sex worker and all of the trauma that she had gone through, not the fact that, you know, this is the first time sex workers were actually standing up and making a claim. And that's a huge thing for somebody who's trying to be very private about their work.
Exactly. I find that if we get the right human rights law and the discrimination laws as other people, then we're more open about it, not in an explicit way, but just to seek help and support and just feel like a part of the community.
Yeah, absolutely. So yeah, and challenging that stigma is a big part of that. So rather than focusing on, you know, what could be bad or all of the disempowering things at our work, what we want people to do is actually have a really good conversation with us and treat us the same way as every other worker.
There's been an incident in Queensland in which a sex worker was evicted from a motel because they suspected that she was providing sexual services.
Yeah.
And she took this motel to court, and she actually won the discrimination case in which she argued that she was no different from a lawyer sitting at his desk using the phone, except her workplace happened to be on the bed.
On the bed.
Or on the desk if she really, really wanted. But then the motel did an appeal, so that's still in court. And then this Mr. Jared Bly, Attorney General of Queensland, did a nice knee-jerk reaction and actually put it through Parliament that it was okay to discriminate against sex workers in motels. And this is a really sad thing, because if they have children at home, they're not going to want to do in-calls because they're trying to keep the children protected. And where does that leave to work?
Yeah, so that's right. So in Queensland, it's completely legal to work from home or from a hotel. But the Queensland government has recently changed the law to say that, you know, if a hotelier suspects somebody of doing sex work there, the hotelier can legally evict that person, which is a bit crazy because it's like lots of people do their work through hotels.
Exactly. And I think, like, you have this idea that it's going to be very loud and it's going to be shady and seedy. And
it's going to be a party.
That's not what happens, though, because we try so hard to be discreet. We don't want our clients to be, caught out or anything like this. We don't want people to hear us having sex. That's sort of embarrassing. But then you get, people who actually go to cities to party and stuff like that, and they can make as much noise as they can, but they won't be discriminated at.
Yeah, it is crazy. It's again, as you say, morality-informing policy to
morality,
targeted sex workers.
It just doesn't really have a place, especially when you should be focusing on harm minimization. You should be focusing on making it better for everyone.
Yeah, human rights, protection, all of those things that...
We just want them, like everyone else. That's all we want.
Like everyone else. You're listening to The Vixen Hour here on Joy 94.9.
A voice for sex workers. The Vixen Hour on Joy 94.9.
You are listening to The Vixen Hour here on Joy 94.9. Oh, Estelle, it has come to the end of the show.
Oh, no. Oh, we still have so much to talk about, but that's sex work and the law for you.
Yeah, absolutely. And look, you know, we may focus on other aspects of the law in future episodes of The Vixen Hour, so be sure to tune in. Next episode, we will be talking to the fabulous Gala Vanting about sex work and the arts, portrayals of sex work in the arts, as well as sex workers as artists. So it's going to be a fascinating show. You should tune in. Have you had a good time?
I have. I was a bit nerve-wracked, but it was all good.
Yay.
Thank you for having me.
It's been a pleasure. You are listening to The Vixen Hour here on Joy 94.9. If you want to keep up with the show during the week, you can do so by finding us on Facebook at facebook.com/sexworkerradio. We're also on Twitter, although I don't really tweet that much, but sorry for that. I've got lots of other Twitter accounts to manage, but it is at Vixen Hour. Otherwise, on our Facebook page, we will be posting links to where you can find information about the law and sex work. Otherwise, we will see you next week here on the Vixen Hour.
Bye, guys.
See ya.
This Joycast is a free service brought to you by Joy 94.9. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.